This is Ozarks at Large. The rise of digital music platforms means musicians and fans can connect all around the world. What this means for culture, the economy, and representation will be examined in a class next fall at the University of Arkansas called Music and Globalization. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums recently talked with the instructors of the class, Nicola Radon and Jake Herzog.
That could be from the anthropology to not only history, but actually how society works today, and where do we go with what is the future? I got actually a question a couple of days ago from one of the students who studied science. And he was generally kind of learning all the history music of the Western world and some of the non-Western world. And he said, like, what do you think, what is going to be future of the music? Well, who can say that?
Yeah.
Well, we did not change the music so much since actually 20th century. We still live in the 20th century in a way. But we have now more actually global or non-Western music approach that we see that actually is booming in the Western world. Like, and as well, we can find the music genres that basically taken some of these beats or the. So it's basically, it's good to search the music in the where basically, how did it come here? Mm-hmm. What was basically, who brought it? How it actually became a now phenomenon of the certain type of beat from the, you know, Latin American, what's called, what, the Despacito, I mean, like that typical beat that
reggaeton.
You hear. Reggaeton, yes. Yeah. How? And so on. I mean, the roots are much deep, much longer, and basically, critically, also we can go on exploitation of the.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah, of the music and see basically, and that could be very, very interesting to analyze from the different perspectives rather than actually by what notes are used in a certain music.
Well, we've come up against a really interesting moment here in the 21st century where such an extraordinary number of people have the means and the opportunity to participate in the construction of our culture. And that is truer with music now than it's ever been. And so that's going on one side. And on the other side, we have a sort of tightly controlled globalized music industry that's tied in with film, that's tied in with social media, that's tied in with all sorts of the ways that we experience all of that culture. And so it creates a really interesting moment in the history of the world for creators to say that there's more opportunity than there's ever been, and that opportunity is no longer confined to what a small group of mostly American and British record companies put out between 1950 and 1990.
Right.
So we've crossed that boundary now in a really interesting way, but I don't think we've really processed what it all means yet. And I think that a course like this seeks to examine some of that in our current moment and figure out, open that dialogue in terms of how can we move forward from here? What is good about that? What is not good about that? And what does that mean for people who are music creators? What does that mean for people who are music fans and so on?
It sounds as if what the subject you're going to be talking about, music and technology, are inseparable, the relationship.
Absolutely. And we can think about the history of music as a history of the technologies on which we consume music. And so when we think about the ancient times to about the invention of the printing press as this era of music patronage, you know, musicians in almost every culture needed patrons to survive in some sense, to subsidize the music. And then once we get the printing press, that's the first big technology where musicians can own something, mm-hmm. own something outside of the temporal moment of their music. And And of course, some of the European societies invented those copyright laws first and so on. You know about the next bit, which is the era of music broadcasting.
Right.
And, that was another enormous advance. And the era of the recorded music industry, which oddly enough came last, which is sort of the root of some of the copyright issues musicians face today, that was like the heyday of the music business. You know, when people say – they look back and they say, yeah, that was the good music business. And it was because we had these phonographs and CDs and cassettes. And now, I mean, music streaming, music digitization, that's the next evolution. And that's the first time where it's made music more difficult to monetize in
right.
some sense.
Let's talk a bit about the cultural side, because we can have exposure. Can that exposure to non-Western music change something besides our music consumption? Just what we listen to? I mean, can it have a societal change? Can it move a needle on something?
Sure, hope so. I mean, back at the end of World War II, we sent musicians all over the place in this part of this soft diplomacy, cultural diplomacy. Even the University of Illinois jazz band went to Europe and so on to kind of spread that message. So my hope is that absolutely this should have some net positive effect somewhere.
True. Yes, there are many examples from the past that can be seen, from jazz or from other style of music. Well, there's so many things like when the Western musicians composers from the end of the 19th century for the first time heard non-Western music sound, and that they started actually to kind of use in their music. Debussy starting like from the Impressionism period, obsessed with the gamelan orchestra from Bali, Indonesia. I mean, like that's something that was booming and then created completely new movements in the art forms and of music and influenced so many other things. Why not today? Why not to actually? I certainly expect actually there will be some changes in for goods. Also, very important not to lose the tradition.
Right.
That's the big question. Maybe we live in a global village, but then if you kill the to use the term kill the roots of the one tradition, then basically you're losing the language.
Will you play music for? I mean, will you have examples of music in this class?
Plan is actually to yes, we can exemplify, bring the samples, but also the plan is to bring some guests from different fields who are basically also experts in the global music and from the economic perspective, from the social perspective, from the, injustice, and so on.
We tend to love this idea of sort of the crossover artist, sometimes within two American-esque genres like country and dance music or something. But we tend to reward the crossovers. Let's say Shakira, for example, or Marc Anthony as like these Latin superstars that made an English language album, and that was a big new hit for them. And so that I feel like that causes us to see mixing genres only from one perspective. It causes us to see it from the Western perspective of Western music plus this, right? So we're really interested in the opposite of that. We want to make sure that we're representing like everything that's not Western music, what happens on that side of the intersection.
Jake Herzog and Nicola Radon will lead the class Music and Globalization at the University of Arkansas next fall. They recently talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums.